welcome to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you'll hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. We'll talk through the sermon topic and pause a few times to hear directly from the Word of God. Our goal is to help you connect with the Bible and find hope and guidance for your life. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I am joined by two special guests, Neil Mackey and Daniel Ramirez. We'll introduce you to our new sermon series, Conversations with Jesus, and talk about the conversations Jesus has with his would-be disciples in John chapter 1. This is where Jesus invites Andrew, John, Simon Peter, and Nathaniel to follow him. All right, welcome back everybody to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. We have special guests. This, if you're listening to this when it's released, it's Thanksgiving, or you maybe just had Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, we are going to start a new sermon series. And so I have our two guest speakers here. Now, I'm using the term guest loosely because they have been around Christ Fellowship for a long time. But I have with us Neil Mackey and Daniel Ramirez. Woo-hoo. Daniel's going to be preaching in Spanish, but he's going to talk to us in English.
Yes, I will try.
And I want you to know that in this room, I am the only non-bilingual person. So these guys could carry on a spirited conversation in Spanish, but they're not going to do that because I couldn't follow along. Neil, Daniel, welcome to the podcast. Let's start out and let our audience know a little bit about you.
So yeah, Neil Mackey, married to Lou Mackey for 17 years. We have two boys, 13 and 18. We have a busy life. We've got middle school and high school activities, working towards a graduation this year. In church, we volunteer in many different roles. Lou is involved in hosting, both in English and Spanish. She also helps out with a few different ministries.
And she's amazing.
I would agree with you on that one. That one's easy to say. But we've been at Christ Fellowship the 17 years. We came here as newlyweds to McKinney, and Christ Fellowship has been our home that entire time.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad. And Neil, by the way, is an elder. All our elders are very humble, but Neil is also one of our elders. Daniel was until recently an elder, and he stepped down.
That's correct.
But Daniel, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about you?
Yes. First of all, Lisa, thanks for inviting us to this podcast today.
I'm glad to have you.
Excited to do that. And yes, my name is Daniel Ramirez. I'm from Mexico, originally from Mexico. Me and my wife, my family, we all are from Mexico. Married to Abigail, my wife, for 25 years. 25 years married. And I have three wonderful daughters. Karina, 22. Daniela, 19. And Taimi, who's 17. And they are all part of the Christ Fellowship. They are all serving here. And we've been part of Christ Fellowship family for close to 11 years now.
That's awesome.
And when we got here, we knew Neil and Lou, and Lou was one of the main persons who contacted at the beginning when we joined the church, and glad to be here. And I work for AT&T, doing as a software integration engineer, and so far that's my in a brief form, that's my life.
We're all complicated people,
that's
but
how we are.
Giving the biography. Well, let's talk a little bit about, since our sermon series that we're starting is Conversations with Jesus, and it's going to be sort of tied into Christmas and also tied into our vision, which our vision is to reduce anxiety, loneliness, and addiction by having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us. So we really are encouraging everyone, including ourselves, to get out there and have real conversations with people, to get beneath the surface a little bit, and not necessarily that we're going to share the gospel in every conversation, but that we're going to try to ask good questions, and we're going to find out where people are at, what their needs are, how we can pray for them, and hopefully encourage them to know more about Jesus. So we thought, what better way to learn how to have good conversations than maybe to see how Jesus had conversations with people. And at the holiday time, a lot of us are around people that we're not always around. So we may visit with family we aren't or with all the time, or we may be going to Christmas parties or other events that just give us a chance to sort of reach out beyond our usual circle.
Yeah, great opportunity to do that, definitely.
Yeah, sure. And we can be a little more intentional about it instead of just talking about the Cowboys, who were so disappointing last weekend. And talking about the weather, which is beautiful today, we can get a little beneath the surface. So let's start with getting a little beneath the surface. I would love to know just briefly a little bit about your relationship with Jesus. How did you meet Jesus, and who was somebody in your life that encouraged you in your walk with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Neil, why don't you start?
Absolutely. I came to know the Lord at 20 years old. So I was in college. I grew up in a Christian home, but unfortunately didn't make that my own personal reality. And so my parents did their very best, but I decided to take the hard route and figure things out on my own. So at 20 years old, almost 21, I was kind of at my wit's end. Life had been difficult even just for those last couple of years of searching. And it was precisely a young man. He was a college grad at that point, but young, and his name was Eric Morrall. And he came up to me and he said, "You're kind of a train wreck, aren't you?" And all in not so many different words than that, he just said, I think you're kind of a mess, Neil." And I admittedly was a bit of a train wreck, and I admitted that. And I said, "Yeah." And Eric said, "I'd like to open the Bible with you." And this was pre-Starbucks, so there was a coffee shop in our town. It was called Cosmos. And we started getting together and just opening the book of Romans. We read John and through some of the Gospels and worked our way into Romans and 1 and 2 Timothy. And I didn't always show up prepared, and I didn't always show up on time, but he stuck with me. And we became very good friends, and he walked with me during an important time in my life. But yeah, that's since then, it's been a 21-year road of walking with the Lord and serving him in different ways. And many men and women have influenced my walk during that time. To this day, I continue to be encouraged and influenced by people around me that I can find just inspiration from, knowledge from, and then serve as the opposite, as the Eric Morrall in my life for hopefully people around me.
Isn't that great? Oh, what a great story. Praise God for Eric.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. So what about you, Daniel?
Well, I guess my story is not too much different from Neil's, but I was born and raised in a Christian family, and I was always influenced by my parents. My dad was a pastor for more than 25 years back in Mexico, in a small town up there, in a small church in Mexico. So I basically grew up at church. Mm-hmm. I was there every Sunday. I was just listening to the word, singing the hymns and everything every Sunday. But there was a time that I realized I needed Jesus, and that was when I was 15 years old, and that was back in January 1987 when I decided to follow Jesus and surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I think it was pretty late in my 15s when I did that, and it was just a great experience. We were in the middle of an evangelistical crusade at the church, and it was this traditional altar calls, right? And I just decided to. Something just gives me the strength, and I just raised my hand, and I just went in front, and I just received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And after that, I just got baptized just 2 Sundays after that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's from that point, Lisa, my walk with Christ started.
Uh-huh.
I guess from 15 years and before, it was just like following what my parents were doing and just being faithful to what they believe. But then after that, it was just like
it became
yours. That's it. This is Jesus Christ, and this is the way I should live. And after that, it's been just a walk with Christ. You know, ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And but Jesus is faithful, and he's been there. And we've been trying to serve in many ways. The gifts God has given us, we just try to put them in service, in works. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing walking with Christ.
Amen. That's so great. Amen. Well, I'm encouraged by both of your stories. And, you know, I think that just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of times people think that our vision is just for people sort of outside the church. But both of you guys grew up in the church,
correct,
but you still needed someone to come alongside you and encourage you in the faith. And you still, the Spirit of God still has to move.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think as parents, I would personally love it if my children were just sort of like, you know, grandfathered in under my claws.
Right.
Like they became, you know, Christians because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It has to be an individual relationship with Jesus, you know, that comes by the Spirit and that other people, other Christians are a part of. And I think that's really what our vision is about, is encouraging people, even those inside the church, to be encouragers to people inside the church, because
correct,
we all need that. We all need that. Well, that's great. Well, we're going to look at a passage today, John 1, 35 through 51. And this is where Jesus calls some of his disciples. Well, we say call, but I think it's more they sort of find him. Oh, it's right. sort of this neat finding and follow relationship that we'll talk about a little bit more now. John 1, 35 through 42. The next day, John was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So let's set the scene. Verse 35 says these were John's disciples. Who is John? Who is this John guy?
Well, I guess he's talking about John the Baptist,
yes.
right? In this passage, and the Gospel of Matthew, he just explains a little bit more. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 3, he gave us a more insight of what is his ministry and his calling, right? And it was also the last prophet. We just consider him the last prophet, and it was. He was mentioned in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm. in
and he has a big responsibility, right? He was the main guy. Luke 1:15. Let me read it. Luke 1:15-17 says, "John the Baptist was saying, 'For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born.'"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was the main responsible of preparing the people for the coming of Jesus.
Yes.
And that make him a very important person. And it was followed by several people.
Yeah. And very influential. People came out to the desert to see him preach. Mm. He called people to repent. He called Israel. He said, "Hey, you guys, you've wandered. You're not living as God intended." So he calls them to repentance, sort of prepares the heart, tills right. the soil. And then I love what he says, I think a little later in John chapter 3, where he says, "I must decrease so he can increase." And so think of the humility. I mean, so many people in our day and age get caught up in the crowds and the likes and the follows, and I want to be an influencer. But John sent his disciples to Jesus.
Yeah, right there in 35, that's what he says. He says, "There's the guy."
He says, "Look.
Look, that's the man right there."
It's not about me. It's about Jesus.
Yeah, you want to follow somebody, go follow this guy. Yeah. And they did. They trusted him and they took his word and they said, "Okay, let's go walk behind Jesus."
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I think...
And I don't think not everyone can say the words that John was saying, right? I mean, it's more about Jesus and less about me.
Yes.
I mean, as you were saying about influencers, we are just surrounded by influencers and they have a bunch of followers, right? And mm-hmm. and sometimes the same person can be a distraction.
Yes.
For their followers. So that wasn't John's intention.
No. Nope.
I mean, yes, you are my follower, but it's not about me. Just forget about me now and go with Jesus. I don't want to be a distraction for you guys. He's the one that I'm here. He's the reason why I'm here.
Yeah. And I know that as preachers, even as guest preachers, but as people who were leaders in the church, I know that that's your heart as well, right? You want to point people to Jesus. I know that's what Bruce and Jaime want to do. They want to point people to Jesus because mm-hmm. it's not about us. It's about him. Mm. Okay. Well, Jesus, I love when he turns to them and he says, "What do you want?" I mean, what a sort of a normal question, right. but kind of a blunt question. And so, Neil, what do you think they wanted? What do you think attracted them to Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they were interested by being disciples and followers of John the Baptist. So they had this interest and they had this itch maybe that they were looking to scratch and figure out what exactly is going on. So when John the Baptist points them toward Jesus, their reaction was immediate to follow Jesus. And so I think what they wanted was to understand the truth, understand what was going on about this man that we've heard as a prophet, as a miracle worker, is all different things, is the Christ, and is this really him?
Yeah.
And so they decided to follow him, and Jesus rightfully turns around. And, you know, Jesus has this amazing ability to ask questions in order to kind of touch the heart, I think.
Yeah.
And so he's getting to the nitty gritty here, getting below the surface to say, hey, you know, and I think it's, and here it says, what do you want? But it's basically, I think, more on saying, what do you want with your life? What are you doing? What are you looking for?
What are you looking for? Yes.
Yeah. Look deeper in your hearts. I mean, it can seem to be like a very easy question to respond, but Jesus' intention was, okay, look at your hearts, look at your intentions, your motives. What are you looking at? I mean, you already found me, because he's not asking, okay, who are you looking for now? Mm-hmm. He said, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
You found me? Okay, what do you really want?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jesus' response is amazing. He said, hey, just come and see.
Come and see.
Come and see. And you will not be
disappointed.
Disappointed. It's going to be just great if you decided to come and follow me. Mm-hmm. So it was a... Maybe they wanted to know what was his strategy, how is he was going to be this man they knew, because they knew the law, they knew what was the reason for Jesus to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had an idea probably in their minds, okay, this is, so how is he going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be part of it. How can I fit in that plan? And
yes.
How can we fit in that plan? And you know what?
They had probably a grander plan.
Correct, right? Like, they said, you know what? Oh,
I'm going to have worldly influence.
Right.
I'm going to help rule Israel.
Yeah. He's going to help me out to be an influencer as well. So that's, I don't know. They were really, I mean, look, Jesus just really told me, okay, look into your hearts and see what it's your really motives to follow me.
Well, and that's such a great point, Daniel, because I think, first of all, I think that's a question we need to all ask ourselves.
Right.
Like, what do I really want? You know, we sometimes just get in a rut and we're living and we don't really necessarily check ourselves sometimes and say, why am I doing this? What do I really want from this? What am I hoping for? But Jesus is so patient because he knows the disciples think they're going to end up being some sort of, you know, at his right hand and his left in the kingdom and rule over Israel and kick the Romans out. But that's not the plan. But Jesus is like, you're going to have to walk with me and learn from me. It's not going to be instantaneous. And I'm not looking for the best and brightest and the people who've got it all figured out. Mm. I'm just looking for people who want to follow me.
Right.
And so that's such encouragement to me because I'm like, I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all together. My motives are frequently not pure. But Jesus is patient with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were willing to follow.
Yes. And they were willing to follow. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more, go down a little bit deeper and see. So I love the pattern that we see here. So, and they say that one disciple is unnamed, but most scholars think that's probably the writer of the book of John.
Right.
Sort of not referring to himself by name. And Andrew. Mm-hmm. And what do John and Andrew immediately do?
They go and tell the family.
Yep.
They talk about Jesus. Hey, we found him. We found Jesus.
That's just an example for us to follow. So, Neil, what about you? When you think about how Jesus calls us to influence, I mean, Jesus could do this anyway, right? He could put on a big billboard up on 75. I mean, he could just download into our brains this knowledge. But what do you think? Why do you think it's so special that Jesus uses people to tell other people?
Yeah, it's Andrew, you know, going, the first thing we see that Andrew does is goes and tells his brother, right? He goes and tells Simon Peter. And that's what an example for all of us, that he's so excited. Jesus literally says, you can follow me, come and see, you can come with me. And they say, where are we going? And Andrew takes off and goes and gets his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But on a deeper level, I think that God gives us this amazing ability to be involved in his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he could do it all on his own. He certainly could, but he wants and desires us to be involved in what he's doing. And so how deep is that, without taking too much time, that somebody, even though I am his creation, he wants me to be involved in what he's doing with the world and with the future and with everything, in filling up heaven and creating this new world. And I get this wonderful opportunity and gift and ability to be involved in what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being a follower, I'm a follower and I participate consciously in his ministry. So what an example set by Andrew, an example we can all use for our own lives. I think for many of us, if you've been walking with the Lord for some time, you may even remember when you were Andrew and you just met Jesus in that time that is so exciting and you're losing friends over it. Because I mean, you're just talking. I mean, everything.
Excited
and so,
about it.
Absolutely. And sometimes we miss that. We miss that kind of fervency or excitement of our newest salvation or when we first meet Christ. And when I read this passage, that's what I think with Andrew. He's just so pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like, come on, let's go.
He was so excited that he went with his brother, right? I mean, who better to listen about your excitement than the people who care for you?
Yes.
Right? And he just went with his family. And that's something biblical. I mean, we know that Jesus said we should be witnesses, you know, in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then expand our circle of influence. And the first one, it's the people we care for.
Yeah.
And the people that care for us. And definitely Simon responded as well with the same excitement.
That, and especially here, we are at Christmas when we do have some interactions with our families, right? Now, we don't want to be the kind of people that are so obnoxious.
We're going to introduce Jesus in that time, right? Yeah.
That are so obnoxious about it. But what a joy to be able to just tell your own story. I mean, you're not pressuring anybody. You're not pushing Jesus on anybody. You're just saying, hey, this is what's been happening in my life. And this is what Jesus has been doing in my life. And that's a witness. That's what it means to witness.
And as simple as that, I mean, we don't need to have something elaborate, right?
No.
It's just, that's what Jesus did to me, and I want to share it.
I just want to tell you.
Jesus changed my life, and I want him to change your life as well.
Okay, well, let's move on, because let's talk about Peter. I love the fact that Simon, who we know as Peter, this is where he gets his new name.
Yeah.
Which I think is just sort of a beautiful thing. I mean, we see this throughout Scripture. We see God sometimes changing people's names. You know, Abram becomes Abraham. We see Jacob become Israel.
Right.
We see Saul become Paul. Mm-hmm. And here we see Simon become Peter. And so help our listeners. What does Peter mean?
For a rock, right?
Yes.
That's the meaning of a rock. And that's basically in the Greek is Peter. And it's amazing how a deep meaning of a name change is, right? In the old world, the meaning of a name reflects your character, your temperament, what it was you. And Jacob was, the meaning was a deceiver, right? Mm-hmm. You're a deceiver. And that was, it was a reality in Jacob's life, right? Mm-hmm. But God changed his name,
yes.
Right? And he's doing the same on Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's amazing how God is, look what you can be. I mean, Jesus saw Simon for who he was, but he also knew the man that he would become.
Yes.
And that was the meaning of the name. I mean, it was, you are this, but you will become this. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the rock. You're going to be the foundation of, you're going to be one main of the main guys of my mission of bringing the gospel to the rest of the people. So that's amazing. That's basically grace. I mean, he saw us for what we can be. Mm-hmm. He knows what we are. We are not good at all, but he can see what we can be.
Yes,
and that's a deep deep thought about what Jesus can do. That's basically grace.
Yes, and that's beautiful. The beautiful that Jesus doesn't see just what we've done or in our past and the sins we've committed and the wrongs we've done and the people we've hurt. That's not what Jesus sees. He sees what we can be when his grace infiltrates our life. That was beautifully said, Daniel.
And imagine if we see the people that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we have those conversations, deep conversations with other people, if we can see in them what God can see in them, probably it will give us a different perspective when we're talking. We will not have any bias on them and just thinking, okay, this can be something that God can do in this person. And we can see them with grace and treat them with patience and love and care. What a great example of what Jesus did with Simon.
Yes, I love that. John 1:43-51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And this is where we meet Nathanael. And Nathanael is not an easy sell. He's
no.
I love what he says here. He's like, "How can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I mean, but what's his objection, Neil? What do you think Nathanael's going through his mind, and why he's not going to jump on the Jesus train right away?
Yeah, I think Nathanael's a skeptic, you know,
right.
And that's probably to be expected. I think even today, as I in our own world, there's a lot of people that are skeptics. There's a lot of skepticism around religion in general, or the things that we talk about. And so some of that is to be expected, and some of that is probably very natural. Nathanael, not only is he a skeptic in his brain, but he's strong enough willed to verbalize
it.
And when somebody of influence, somebody who's a friend of his, in Philip, says, "Hey, and look, I've met this guy. I've met this Jesus," and his immediate reaction is to be skeptic about it. I think that the neat part of this story is Philip's reaction, mm-hmm. which is, "I'm not going to refute you, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to fight you, and I'm not going to get angry with you or take a stance. Just come and see."
He wasn't discouraged.
Hey, right, no, about that, discouraged. About his response, he says, right. "Hey, come on, come with me." And I think about in my own life, when I came to know the Lord, I was a skeptic. Mm-hmm. Growing up in a Christian home, I chose my own way, but I wasn't convinced that going back to Christianity was gonna be the right way for me. And so there was a certain level of skepticism and doubt in my own mind. And until in my own story, the man came to me and said, "Well, let's just open this book together. Mm-hmm. Let's just spend some time together and see what you think." And it was the book that transformed me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Eric. It wasn't his testimony. It wasn't mm-hmm. who he was. It was the word. It was God's word. And so, what a neat testimony from Philip of just being quiet and being humble and saying, "Hey, why don't you come with me? Let's see what we can see.
Let's walk together. Mm-hmm. Let's walk mm-hmm. together this path that That's you it. Have."
Right. Yeah. Well, and Jesus doesn't chastise Nathanael
nope.
at all. And he says, "Look, he is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit."
He affirmed.
Yeah. So he notices and comments on something very positive about Nathanael's character, that this is someone who's not deceptive anyway or deceitful in any way, but just wants to know the truth.
Yeah, correct.
And so Jesus honors him by giving him an answer. And, you know, we talked about this before we started recording, but it's an interesting thing about this fig tree.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden he says, "Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not sure what was going on there. And we talked about it beforehand. We're not really sure. The scholars are divided.
Yep.
As to what the significance of that moment is. But Daniel, I loved what you said about, there must have just been something that happened maybe it was even just kind of private.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what really happened there under that fig tree, but definitely that was something really convincing to Nathanael to follow Jesus and say those words. And he said, "Yes, this is my rabbi. This is my master. This is Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is the guy.
Yep. And that's something that can happen in our lives. I mean, we don't know how Jesus is going to come in each of us, and when he's going to open our eyes based on something that happened, an experience that happened in our lives. And then we will be open to our eyes and say, yes, I surrender this. You are my master. You are Jesus. You are my savior. Mm-hmm. And he uses all those kinds of experience in our life to turn to Jesus.
Yeah. And, you know, each of us have a different testimony of how we met Jesus, and people listening have different stories. Right. But that's the beauty of it, is it's not a one size fits all. People come to Christ in all kinds of ways, mm-hmm. but the Spirit moves and people respond. And that's awesome. Then Jesus says something about, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And that's an allusion to, we talked about Jacob earlier.
Correct. Yeah.
But that's his vision from the Old Testament. And that would have been really meaningful to Nathaniel. I mean, these guys knew their scriptures.
Yeah.
They had been taught them from childhood. They probably had large parts of it memorized. Lots of young Jewish boys did. And so that would have been immediately meaningful to Nathaniel. And I think Jesus uses things that are in our past and our experiences that will help confirm for us what it means to accept him, to follow him, and to trust him. And that built his faith, right? He's like, oh, hey, you're the guy.
Mm-hmm. Especially in that vision that, Jesus is referring to for Jacob.
Well, and he links this idea of, you know, what God intended was for heaven to come to earth.
Correct.
Right. There wasn't supposed to be this divide, right? God was going to make his dwelling place on his with his creation and with humanity, and sin separated that.
Right.
But Jesus came to us. He didn't say, hey, you guys need to work harder and clean up your act and some
me, right?
and figure out how to get to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, no, I'm going to come down, you know, and we celebrate this at Christmas, right? The incarnation. I'm going to come down in flesh, and I'm going to walk among you, and I'm going to heal your sick, and I'm going to preach my word, and I'm going to fight for justice, and I'm going to love people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to die so that you all can come and be with me. And once again, in the new creation, we'll have heaven and earth unified again.
That's Amen. God's story through the whole Bible.
Oh, it's awesome.
I mean, mm-hmm. we can see it in the Old Testament. God always trying to reach his people. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be here. He's approaching us. And then the ultimate approach, it was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'm going to be just with you, present, and incarnated in Jesus Christ.
Which is just so mind-blowing.
Right. It's mind-blowing. You're right. I mean, it's not about us. It's God reaching us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, guys, I'm excited. Are you guys excited to preach?
Yeah.
We are waiting for Sunday.
That's it.
Of course, you're going to eat a lot of turkey and have fun time with your family.
Yeah.
And then you're going to come up here and knock it out of the park on Sunday. So, and bless people with the word.
Very much looking forward to it. Yeah.
That's great. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for joining us on the podcast.
Oh,
this was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed talking to, don't tell the guys. I enjoyed talking to different people. It's just a little variety. Awesome. Sometimes nice, right? But Neil, would you pray for us and our listeners?
I'd love to. Thank you. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the many blessings in our lives, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for these 15, 16 verses, Lord, that we could take a few moments to unpack. Thank you for the example you've given us through them of your amazing plan. Thank you for taking here during this passage, the five men that you would use as part of your disciples to disciple others, and then ultimately change the world. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace in our lives. We pray for those who are listening, those that have prayer requests that need to be lifted up to you. You certainly know those. Lord, and we look forward to this holiday weekend where we will spend time with friends, family, and loved ones. Lord, that you would use us in mighty ways beyond what we think is possible, not to bombard anyone with the gospel, but to present it in its truest form, that you are love. And you are peace, and with that very easily and openly we can have a relationship with you. Allow many to come to know you through our example. We love you, Christ Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Well, we will be back with the usual crew next week. Mark, Jaime, and Bruce will be back as we will continue to move through our Conversations with Jesus series. We'll see you next week.